They opened up this building 6 weeks ago, and what a great facility. I was able to preach over at the chapel this morning, and you get both feels for that types of service, and it's just a wonderful place up here in Woodstock. I used to live up here off of Town Lake. Thank you for welcoming me, the members here at The Way, and also all the friends and family that are here. In just a moment, we're going to say the Apostles' Creed. And now, I'll admit at one time, I'd struggled with some of the Apostles' Creed. I didn't understand some of the words that were penned thousands and thousands of years ago. I especially struggled with the part in believing in the Holy Catholic Church. And I realized through my research and so forth, that's a small c. Catholic means universal. So if you were like me and had a problem with that, that's what that means. I get it. So the basic pillars of the Christian beliefs are all right there. And they come from Scripture. I think they did a series here on the Apostles' Creed just a few weeks ago. But I was at the Global Methodist Conference back in May. And Carolyn Moore was the speaker on Friday night. And she just teed it up. She just said, you know, the Apostles' Creed is not just to be simply recited. It really needs to be proclaimed with excitement. So if you can stand with me as we say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He is descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He shall come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And if you could just remain standing for one moment. Father God, we just want to praise you. We want to thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. We thank you for this wonderful place to worship you. We thank you for the message that you've laid on my heart. We thank you for the worship team here, the music. We thank you for Ann and Andy for leading this community. And we especially thank you, Jesus, for your nail-scarred hands that continue to feed us grace. Lord, thank you for your love. And in Jesus we pray. So please remain standing as we read our scripture for today. So if you can turn on your Bibles, if you have one, or you can look at the screen, we're going to go to Luke chapter 15, 1 through 10. So that's Luke chapter 15, 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And the parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You can be seated. Now, if you could just bear with me for a moment, I want to ask you a favor. I want you to close your eyes for just a few minutes. In case you didn't know, these words are in red letters. The words of Jesus speaking in a parable. Think about the shepherd who has lost one of his prized possessions. He's concerned. He may be distraught, thinking about the wild animals attacking one of his flock who has gotten a hold of one of his precious souls. Now, think about the one sheep who's gone astray. Maybe he's or she is entangled in a mess of briars. Or maybe he or she has fallen into a rut and can't see its way out. Maybe it's a lot of pain and anguish. Now think about the 99. Are they just going to stand there and let the shepherd leave them unguarded and be spectators? Are they going to follow him and see what happens? Which of these can you relate to? Are you the guiding shepherd, the 99, or the one who's lost? Now open your eyes. So for me, I can relate to all three at different times. Being in ministry, in my sales job, co-vocational as we call it, I certainly can relate to being the shepherd. I'm a connector. You see, we took a class at Mount Bethel called Unique, and it was really awesome. You get all 6 weeks of planning, and you get down to two words that describes you. Mine are shepherding relationships. You see, I'm a connector. I take people in my business world, my vendors and my customers, and even my colleagues. We call them friendly competitors. Now, in ministry, I yearn to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, people come up to me in conversation with their daily struggles. Marriage issues, addiction, trouble with forgiving someone who's done them wrong, anyone. I hope to shepherd them in the right way. It's one of the reasons why I started my journey in 2019 in seminary. I hope I always have the right words to say, but I know those words have to be rooted in Scripture. How would Jesus handle a particular situation is what I think. What would he say? Are my thoughts in line with his? Of course, Jesus is the good shepherd in this parable. Oftentimes when I'm on the road, I'll have my computer, my laptop, and my catalog, and my samples, and we're booking some business. About 2 hours goes by, and I close my laptop. And that's usually when the conversations start. So how's seminary going? They all know. Well, my son has problems praying. He's, do I pray to Jesus? Do I pray to God? Do I pray to the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes. We all remember the song, Blessed Trinity. What about the 99? I see the 99 as all of you. When someone goes down, don't we all come together for a good and righteous cause? My wife Kathy and I saw this as we began her journey, our journey, in breast cancer almost a year ago, July 1st. It's probably been one of the most difficult times of our lives. And I can't describe as a spouse how badly I wanted to swap places with her as I watched the chemo take effect on her body. And sometimes our spirit. The worst part has been the attacks of the devil telling us she might not make it. I had a friend at Mount Bethel come up to me and I heard, your wife has cancer. My wife had cancer. I said, yeah, it's triple negative, the worst kind. He goes, my wife had triple negative. We started a journey of meeting once a month or so, 5-6 lunches, and the man poured into me. So be careful. Some of you guys might be Jesus with skin on. You're angels in my book. In a similar fashion, I watched our own church in Marietta be attacked by the United Methodist Church, what we felt was an attack. I know most of you fought this battle here in Woodstock as you separated from the United Methodist Church. At times, I felt like our church was one of the lost sheep. There were a few times when we wondered, where is our shepherd? But what I saw was nothing but grace. The way we responded, our senior pastor led us in that. But there were some times when we thought, how are we ever going to get out of this mess? Spiritual warfare is real, y'all. Can I get an amen? I don't know about you, but I certainly can relate mostly to the lost sheep. I've fallen into so many snares and traps and ruts in my life. I think the shepherd's little hook is probably broken. He's rescued me time and time again. You just name it. Anger, lust, pride, unforgiveness. Sometimes my mind won't let go of the hurt that I feel from someone who's cut deep into my soul. And sometimes it's been from preachers, spiritual mentors, and even people in the congregation. I'll let y'all in on a secret. All churches have hypocrites. People who judge one another while festering in their own sin. So if you think you've been hurt by the church or disagree with someone of authority, welcome to the club. What about you? Who do you relate to in this parable? Are you the shepherd? Are you the 99? Are you the lost sheep? Now let's look at back at the parable of the 10 coins one more time. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the entire house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Man, this woman cleaned house. I can just imagine her flipping on the light, just cleaning everything, multitasking, looking under every nook and cranny until she finds it. You see, this is you and me. Our souls are being searched for. Sometimes we need to clean out all the garbage, the junk inside of us until we find it. And in my book, the it is only found in Jesus. But most of the time, we try to fill our lives with stuff. The Amazon box that comes almost daily. The shiny new car. Coveting someone else's life or their wife. In my business, we call that retail therapy, so it's a good thing sometimes. I get Bryant Wright's devotion. He was at Johnson's Ferry and head of the Baptist Convention. He was one of my speakers, so I'm honored to have his cell phone and text him every once in a while, see how he's doing. I said, "Man, I read your devotion this morning. Do you mind if I use it?" I didn't hear back from him yet, but he's probably preaching somewhere. He's retired, but he's always speaking. And the heading of the devotion this morning said, "He leads us from the shallowness of worldly pursuits to the depths of spiritual satisfaction." He leads us from the shallowness of worldly pursuits to depths of spiritual satisfaction. And that's from Brian Wright. Some of us may drink until the pain is numb. Whatever it is, alcohol, your next thing. But the next day, we're feeling the same pain over and over again. And you know what the best answer to most theological questions is in seminary? Jesus. Professor usually says, "Yep, you're right." His love, His grace, His mercy are so great, it just fills you up. We don't need all that stuff. In John 4, verse 10, Jesus said, He will give us living water so that we won't thirst anymore. Are you hungry for something else? Are you thirsty for some living water? Look to Jesus. Someone needs to say amen.
Amen.
Now, in seminary, we call it exegesis. That's a big seminary word. It's called pulling the meaning out of the text. I just took a class on it. Whew, glad that's over. But we look for the main words that jump out. Oftentimes, it's recurrence. It's repeating. Now, we know Jesus is speaking here, but he reiterates, I tell you. In the last verse of the parable, Jesus says, in the same way, I tell you, that means, behold, church, listen up. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. What jumps out to me is the word repent. Sin and repentance, they're not popular subjects to preach on, so I thank Andy for giving me the verses to preach on today. Why he's not here. He's on sabbatical, by the way. And when he's on sabbatical, he sets boundaries. And I texted him a couple weeks ago. I said, hey, Andy, I got some questions on the flow of the service and so forth. He said, text Ann, I'm on sabbatical. Well, amen. So that word that jumps out to me in that last verse is repent. If you look up the original Greek meaning of that word, it is metanoeo. It's a hard one to say. But what it means is to think differently afterwards. In other words, reconsider what we've done and pivot. Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well? He said, your sins are forgiven. Now go and sin no more. You see, for me, one of the most hurtful things I hear in society is that church isn't inclusive. Well, I can tell you, in my church, in this church, we are one of the most welcoming people that I've ever met in my life. We love everybody, no matter your race, creed, sexuality, genre, whatever. We are all sinners. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 3. He said, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. Are you listening, church? You see, Jesus welcomed everyone to the table. But as one of my colleagues in seminary, Justin Arnold, says, but they left differently. We consider what we've done and we pivot. We think differently. We speak with more grace. We act in a righteous manner because we've learned from our mistakes. My wife tells me all the time, you've got scars in your mouth from biting your tongue. In a few moments, we'll open up the altar for anyone who wants to come up and pray. We believe that this altar is the gateway that gives us special time to connect with God. You can pray anywhere you want, but if you want someone to pray with you, you certainly can come. So let me lay this on your heart. How do we repent? How do we reach out to others in need? How are we going to be a shepherd to others? How do we allow ourselves to be shepherded by the love of Jesus? And here's my charge and challenge to you. On a walk to Emmaus weekend, we always say, find a friend, be a friend, and bring your friend to Jesus. Do this by, number one, reach out. Be a shepherd. Model Jesus in that. One of the greatest weaknesses of most churches is our resources. We just can't go after the lost. There's probably members of this church who've quietly left and stopped attending in whatever church you go to. There's probably a neighbor right now that's struggling. I can tell you one thing that I learned from my divorce over 20 years ago. Everybody is going through something. If they aren't, they're probably lying. I'm just kidding, but probably so. Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, we love Chick-fil-A. My wife is headquarters there, and he said it best. He said, "How do you know someone needs encouragement? They're breathing." So go out and reach out to people. Go over to their house. Don't just text or email. Now, that's a good setup for a meeting. Nothing like a warm voice and a beautiful smile. Secondly, be the 99. I can tell you, we're on the home stretch of our breast cancer battle. They got the last little bit March 13th in the lymph node. And we got 2 more weeks of precautionary radiation. We're going to celebrate like we found the lost coin in a few weeks, I'm telling you. From the hundreds and hundreds of people praying for us, sending cards, calling, emailing, reaching out, it was literally overwhelming at times. I tell people we fought back with 4 barrels, power of prayer, positivity, healthy diet, and of course the chemo and the doctors and the nurses, the modern medicine. The healthy eating part, my dad was a Tennessee Vol fan, and we pretty much turned our kitchen orange from all the carrots and the turmeric, and carrots are good. It's not too late to stop eating better. Kathy always says, the best workout, start in the kitchen. God didn't cause this, but it was a part of his plan. In the healing part, it's all him. Amen. Hallelujah. Number 3, repent and pivot. If you're lost in any kind of way, if you're struggling with your marriage, addiction, suicidal thoughts, whatever your struggles, if you're feeling like one of the sheep that's been ensnared in the thickets or fallen into the ditch, call me. Call Ann. Call Andy. Call somebody. Reach out to them. And lastly, number 4, I want you to look in the mirror and ask yourself, I heard this from a preacher named Matt Lake. He said, ask yourself, am I hurting the situation or am I helping? Am I loving or am I hating? Am I uniting or am I dividing? Our country needs that right now. Don't go out and post something on social media that might raise the ire of somebody. You're probably going to tick off about half your people. Certainly stay away from politics. Amen? Are you listening? Remember, there will be rejoicing in your own heart, just as there will be rejoicing in heaven for those who repent and are now found. Make that pivot and leave here differently than you came. Amen?